Later in this program, we'll let you know where to send your questions for future broadcasts. You're listening to Search the Scriptures Daily, a radio ministry of the Berean Call. We turn now to our final segment, Understanding the Scriptures, and continue our exploration of the doctrine of salvation. Here are Dave Hunt and T.A. McMahon.
We're going through the Gospel of John with a particular emphasis on the gospel and the salvation we have in Christ. And as we've been saying, our life in Christ begins with our understanding of the gospel and our acceptance of it by faith. Dave, we're continuing where we left off last week. Well, we'll back up a little bit, but I want to go to John chapter 4, starting with verse 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look into the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And Dave, I get excited about this. I remember at one Reaching Catholics for Christ conference, Joe Jordan spoke about the fields are white. Mm-hmm. And he just exhorted us to get out there and get on with encouraging people, witnessing, mm-hmm. evangelizing. This incredible gift that we have received, eternal life. What would hold us back from sharing that with anybody, everybody, as the Lord leads, certainly, but opportunities, I mean, it's a fantastic way of fulfilling not just the Great Commission, but what Christ has called us all to do.
Well, we love all those around us, even our enemies, we're supposed to, our neighbors, mm-hmm. with the love of God that caused him to give his son. Some people are ashamed, afraid.
Self-conscious.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, as though there's something to be ashamed of, mm-hmm. because society gives you that idea. You know, they look down on Christians and so forth. We have nothing to be ashamed of. They can't support what they believe. We have the truth on our side, and we have good news. It's something really wonderful, and we have a wonderful Savior mm-hmm. to commend to
and
them.
And this is a free gift. It's not like we're trying
right.
to sell somebody something or move them into our cult or
right.
whatever.
Not trying
this
to
is
get
God's
them,
word. This is God's truth.
Not trying to get them to join our church mm-hmm. or, as you said, our cult. No, we just want to bring them to Christ. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the fields are white unto harvest.
And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And you do rejoice, knowing that God is using you in the life of somebody else, whether it's just planting a seed, and sometimes it's not by word, but it's just by our action, just how we react to things. I mean, we're a living, hopefully, a living witness for Christ. And sometimes we're reproached that way, I'm sorry to say.
That can cause them to want to know more, but of course, a loving, compassionate, self-sacrificial life isn't going to give them the gospel.
Right.
So we have to do that as well.
And herein is the...
Oh, Tom, let's go back. I wanted to talk about the wages.
Okay.
That's not the kind of wages you put in the bank here on earth. This is a reward for eternity. I don't understand it because, first of all, I'm not worthy to receive a reward. If I introduced 1,000 people to Christ, he does it. It's the work of the Holy Spirit, and yet he's so gracious that he gives us a reward. I think the reward is the joy of knowing that we have pleased him, that we've done his will. As Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me to finish his work.
Dave, is there any greater joy? You think about it in your life, than pleasing someone and knowing you've pleased someone that you love.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of anything.
No, that we could please him. He is infinite, the creator of the universe. That we could please him, that's not going to bring pride to you, you know. It doesn't build up your self-esteem, as we're told we need, but it brings a joy. It's like, not a good illustration, but a dog wagging its tail, knowing that it has pleased his master. We are not animals. We're made in the image of God. But nevertheless, we are his servants, And we're rather pitiful creatures. We don't know how pitiful we are and how far we come short of really knowing Him and knowing His Word. There's so much more. But nevertheless, what joy we can have to know that we have pleased Him. That's wonderful.
Verse 37, and herein is that saying true, one soweth, another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. You know, sometimes we work it, and it's very difficult sometimes. You're dealing with somebody, and you want so much, particularly a relative, you want so much for them to know, to receive the gift that you've freely received, and you get nowhere. And it's just an utter frustration because of your love, and it's your love that compels you to do that. On the other hand, I've had experiences where you couldn't get away from a person. They were so hungry that, and it was almost like an inconvenience. You know, on the one hand, you want to do it. On the other hand, you got something else. You're preoccupied with something else. And these people, I've been on plane trips like that where somebody sat down next to you and you thought, wow, who put this person? Mm-hmm. And it makes the trip almost a flight to heaven.
Yeah, well, someone sows, someone else reaps. God gives the increase. We quoted that last program, I think. Paul said, I've planted, Apollos watered, God gives the increase. It's all of God. And what a privilege that we could be workers together with God, the scripture says. And verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did.
I don't get that thing. Why would they? It's almost like a hearsay thing. They weren't there.
Well, she says, this man told me everything. He must be the Messiah, because we know when the Messiah comes, he'll tell us all things. I think that was what brought the initial faith.
Mm-hmm.
They believed her word, her testimony. And they believed, well, he must really be the Messiah. But, of course, they came out to see for themselves. And then I'm sure that the Lord convinced them. But it says, so when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he should tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. And this is what they say. They said to the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying,
mm-hmm.
for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world.
And Jesus preached to them, so we don't know all the content.
We don't know what he said. That must have been something. And this is rather amazing, isn't it? As you've been emphasizing, these Samaritans were despised. You don't have anything to do with them. Why would you, she says to Jesus as he asks her for a drink, you're a Jew. Why would you talk to me, a Samaritan? But the Lord knew their hearts. He knew that there were some people there in that city, this woman and others. Unlikely. It happens to me on airplanes that sometimes this person sitting next to me seems the most unlikely person. And I almost don't even try to talk to them. Just their demeanor, oh, they're very important, they're on their cell phone, you know, the guy is the head of something or other. I remember sitting next to a man, he's dealing all over the world before the plane gets started. You can't talk to somebody like that. And the Samaritans, very unlikely. They were despised. Mm-hmm. Who's going to bring the gospel to them? What would they know about Christ? But they had some idea that he was coming and that he would tell them everything. How deep their understanding became in those 2 days, we don't know. But they believed on him.
Mm-hmm.
Scripture says, this is what we're told, and they believed that he is the Savior of the world. So they have a deeper insight than those in when we come to chapter 8. Remember, it says, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews that believed on him, if you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed, you'll know the truth. The truth will set you free. And then they began to argue with him. Well, we're never in bondage to anybody. We don't need to be set free, and so forth. These, it says, believed that he is the Savior of the world. He had to go to some detail to explain that to Nicodemus.
Right.
So this is an amazing incident here. God gives us some insight into this.
Dave, I want to go back to, I just was thinking about something here. When do we? How do you go about it? You know, there will be some like the Samaritans. There will be some like these religious Jews who all they want to do is argue. We have situations with regard to neighbors or relatives that we've tried and just seem to have gotten nowhere. How do we go about that? Do we kick the sand off our sandals and go on with business? Or what do you think?
It's you know, we have to be careful that we explain. You, in your opening remarks, as you said, we were in John and we're trying to get into the gospel, you know, understand the gospel. And you emphasized understanding. And Matthew 13, the seed, we've talked about it many times, the seed that fell by the wayside, the birds of the air came and took it. The disciples said, what is that? Jesus said, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then comes that wicked one, takes from the heart the seed that is sown. So we must be very, very careful that we explain the gospel clearly. We can be superficial or just emotional. We want to be sure a person understands. Now, how long do you keep pushing this? We don't push it on someone, I don't think. Jesus said, don't cast your pearls before swine. Someone that obviously doesn't want to do anything but argue, I think you're wasting your time. We'll have to commit that to the Lord, pray about it, and hopefully the seed that we've planted, somebody else will water that.
Dave and Tom will resume their conversation on the topic of salvation next week. We hope you can join us. This is Search the Scriptures Daily, a radio ministry of the Berean Call. To contact Martin and Deidre Bobgan's ministry and learn more about their teaching materials or to subscribe to their free newsletter, call them at 800-216-4696 or visit their website at www.psychoheresy-aware.org. If you are a diligent student of God's Word, our ministry makes available a wide selection of teaching materials, including books, tapes, CD-ROM, our internet website, and others. And now, exciting news about a new offering. In ancient ages, the great Hebrew prophets predicted that before the coming of their promised Messiah, there would be specific fulfillments of their prophecies to signal the end of the age. But not until the Jews returned to the land in 1948 did those signs become evident. Today, after some 50 years back in the land, the realized predictions are crystal clear, even to the casual observer. From the mountains flowing with sweet wine, to the wars of the Jews, to the rebuilding of the third Jewish temple, to the sealed eastern gate, and much more. You will experience and see it all as 25 Messianic Signs presents an unfolding drama of the prophetic signs pointing to the pivotal event of our time. The Return of the Messiah. Video producer Ken Klein.
Gary, the fact that Israel is in the land today is one of the principal reasons why we should be looking for the coming of the Messiah. When you get this film, it will encourage your faith and it is a resource to help you reach loved ones for Christ.
See the land, see the people, see the places. 25 Messianic Signs, a new video from the Berean Call. $20 includes shipping and handling. Information on how to order in just a moment. If you would like a copy of this broadcast, ask for program number 0541. And please mention the call letters of this station. Next week, Tom will again be joined by the Bob Gans as they wrap up their series of discussions about psychology and its influence on the church. Mind-altering drugs for kids. Dare to say no. We'll look at that topic and examine the question, do you have the psychological right stuff to be a missionary? We hope you can join us. If you have questions or comments about this program, we urge you to contact our offices. Search the Scriptures Daily radio ministry is made possible by God's grace, your prayers, and your financial support. I'm Gary Carmichael, and for Dave, Tom, and everyone here at the Berean Call, I would like to thank you for tuning in and invite you to join us again next week. In the meantime, if you desire to know God's truth, search the Scriptures Daily.
You've been listening to Search the Scriptures Daily, a radio ministry of the Berean Call. For more information about the Berean Call and a free subscription to our monthly newsletter, contact us at P.O. Box 7019, Bend, Oregon, 97708. Call us at 800-937-6638 or visit our website at www.thebereancall.org. Join us again next week for Search the Scriptures Daily, featuring Dave Hunt and T.A. McMahon.